Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 8, day 5 of the study of Romans. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Romans 13, 8 through 14. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Join me as we pray before we get started. Lord, I ask that you would open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today. God, would you speak to us? We want to know you more. Not just more about you, God. We want to know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 8. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt of love to one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be are summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. One of the interesting things that I find about this, and this is just a brief aside, and then we'll jump into the content of this, is that this concept, this idea, this is, you know, Jesus telling the people in the Gospels, this is the fulfillment of the law. This is, you know, everything. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second command is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus gives what's called the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. These concepts here are generally attributed as very unique to Scripture. And I believe in many ways they are, but there's something very interesting in the Talmud, which is what Paul is maybe alluding to here. Is in the Talmud, there's very similar writings of the rabbis of this generation. And the question that comes up is, did the rabbis from this time period in the Talmud, did they steal this concept from Jesus and Paul? Or was this already a concept that was at work? Was this a normal concept to them that was maybe not emphasized as much? Was it something that was written down? Was it something that was taught but not emphasized? And here is Jesus and Paul emphasizing something that the Lord had given to his people long ago. That's not clear. It could be either way. And just because the rabbis were saying it at the same time doesn't necessarily mean that they stole it one from another. It could have been that they were genuinely seeing that this is the truth of the gospel. This is the truth of the law. This is the truth of all of Scripture, is that if you just don't harm anyone else, you know, that's number one. Just don't do wrong things to other people. Now, that's a lot more difficult in reality than in speech. It's easy to say, don't do bad things to other people. Okay. Easy enough. Not doing them, that's another thing entirely. But I think Paul is taking it a step further here than what the Talmud would say. And that's why I think he's referencing the Talmudic statements, the rabbinic statements, what the rabbis would teach here. I think he's referencing that more than he's referencing Jesus here, because he's saying not only, the law is summed up and just don't do wrong to your neighbor. Paul is saying that love does no harm to a neighbor. And that's where I think he's taking it a step further, is it's not that the law says don't do harm to a neighbor and all of the law can be summed up in that. Paul is saying that love is the culmination of the law. I think he's addressing this rabbinic teaching that the law could be summed up as don't do bad to other people. And Paul is saying the law is summed up in love. And love is the thing that does no wrong to a neighbor. Love is the fulfillment of the law. The rabbis would teach that just not harming others was the fulfillment of the law. And Paul is saying, no. Love is the fulfillment of the law. And there's this debt. He's being very practical at the beginning here. Don't owe anybody anything except this debt of love to one another. Because if we love, like Paul says, we have fulfilled the law. We're not in worry of breaching the law, but it's so difficult to love. And that's where pretty much every transgression of the law comes in, is when we choose not to love. You know, I've been reading ahead, of course, which I encourage you to do. I like to read through the book every week, and I encourage you to do the same. And in doing so, you know, we're going to come to where Paul says, greet each other with a holy kiss, you know, and I'll talk about this more when we get there, but that was a practice established by the early church because of these kinds of teaching. Paul mentions it four times in his epistles. That in the early church saw it like this. There were our early church fathers that wrote about it, is that they would practice this holy kiss because you couldn't, if you were forced to greet each other with a holy kiss, you knew that you had to deal with any offenses that you had with your brothers in Christ that you were going to see on Sunday. You had to deal with them before you got there, because it's difficult to go up and embrace and kiss each other on either cheek when you really just want to kill that person. That kiss that Judas gave Jesus, it's not an easy thing to do. And everyone can see it on your face. So if there's not genuine love, you have to deal with it beforehand, before you come in and you give that holy kiss. Paul is making, I think, a very important but bold statement here, is it is our love that should be on full display. That is what makes us law keepers. It's what makes us terrible sinners, is when we love one another. And when that love springs forth from loving Jesus, it's easy. I've seen many people over the course of my life try to love other people out of their own will and desire. And people are messy. People can get nasty and mean. And if you try and love people out of your own will, you burn out. I have seen so many people burn out from trying to love people from their own will and desire. But if you love people from an overflow of your love of Jesus, it shows. It so shows. Verse 11. And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, and not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. These things are very practical, but I love what Paul is saying them in reference to. He's moving on here from this discussion of the law and love, and now he's saying the day, the hour has already come. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. The day, what Paul is using, he's using an allusion, a metaphor of night turning to day, but he's alluding to this idea of the day of the Lord. That's a somewhat technical term in Bible language. Is the day of the Lord is the day of the appearing of the Messiah, the day that Jesus returns. In our understanding, and in ancient, you know, Jewish understanding, it was when the Messiah was going to come. They thought he was only coming once, but we understand now he comes twice. And so Paul is alluding to that with this imagery, this metaphor here. The day of the Lord is coming. It's nearer now than when we first believed, which, as long as we're progressing forward through time, that's always going to be true. We don't know how far away it is. Paul didn't know how far away it was then. But I find it very interesting when we have retrospect to look back on this, Paul is encouraging them to view their lives in light of the Messiah returning, in light of Jesus coming back. Think about ways to honor the Lord. So don't get bogged down in all this other mess. He lists all these things. Don't get stuck in the mire of those things. Rather, he's saying, clothe yourself, put on as much of the authority and grace and love of Jesus as humanly possible. And do everything in your power not to gratify the lusts and desires of the flesh. In light of this idea that Jesus is coming back. This is something that doesn't get emphasized terribly often, but this was primary to Paul's thinking. And in truth, the Christian life, one of our primary, I don't want to say motivations, but understandings, one of the primary backbones of Christian thinking is not that Jesus loves you and hey, he really likes you and he wants to take away your sins. Yes, those are very true. I mean, they're very good, but they mean nothing if Jesus isn't coming back for us. If he's not coming back to usher us into eternity as he intended it before the garden, if he's not doing that, and the fact that he loves us and he likes us and we're made for our best life now, all those things are meaningless unless we have a vision for the Messiah returning. Paul views everything through that lens and he's pointing it out here. So because of that, let's put aside the deeds of darkness. Let's behave decently. Let's do everything in our power to honor the Lord and move toward that, to move into that light and away from the darkness. Because Paul realizes, like he's just said, if you just love, you've fulfilled the whole law. You've done everything. You're not a sinner if you just love. But the problem with that is we're terrible at loving. We're terrible because we're so fickle. And I've said this before on the podcast, and I want to say it again because I think it's critical to our understanding of love, is if we try and redefine love as something else, that love is commitment, love is a this or love is a that, we miss what's going on here. Love is an emotion. It is only an emotion. It is always an emotion. It has only ever been an emotion. To love someone is not a commitment. Now, we can commit to love, and that is important. I believe that's what we do when we get married, is we commit to love. Love is not the commitment. The commitment is something separate. It's the covenant that we make, and normally it is a covenant of love. And what that means is that we covenant, we commit to one another as when we get married. And he's kind of alluding to that here in the church. But when we get married, we covenant, we commit to love one another. And what that means is that we commit for life to continually stir up the emotion of love. Whenever we feel our hearts waning, whenever we feel that emotion of love start to fade for our spouse, it should terrify us. And we should do whatever is possible to stir that emotion of love back up. Love is not a commitment. We can commit to love, but love can never be a commitment. It is only an emotion. Now, it is emotion that we can have control over. We can stir it up and we know how to kill it. Oh, many people know how to kill it. But stirring up that love, stirring up that passion for their human being, including Jesus, that's something we can decide to do. Now, we can't always decide when we feel angry, but we can decide what we do with that anger. We can decide if we want to stir up more of that anger or settle it down. We have control over our emotions. So what I'm not saying is let love take over and control you. No, passions or whatever. What I'm saying is we have the ability to stir that up, but we're really bad at it. It's difficult. It's hard. So if we could just love one another, we would fulfill the law. We would not walk in sin. But since we can't, do everything in your power to love well. Do everything in your power to put away all of these other things that lead you away from love and lead you away from the Lord. Do everything in your power to chase after the Lord with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And do it with love in your heart for Jesus that overflows to loving people. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. I'll be back next week with another day of the podcast.